Well, folks, I didn't know that this was going to happen this way. And I am shocked. But actually, that's the wrong word. It's a nice descriptive word, but it's not the right one. I told everybody at one point that there would be new form of judges. Well, I didn't realize the angle of that judgment system, but I discovered it unintentionally. It has to do with my own particular fight here in Germany. Immigration judges. There is a strange thing that I just, all of a sudden, tonight, earlier, I was thinking about some things, and it hit me. Immigration judges, is there a problem with that in the USA? Because I know there's a problem with the immigration system right now, with the illegals and the overload that they're dealing with. But what about the judges? Not just the immigration system. The focus is not on them. It's not on the judges. It's on just the system, on the police, on the ICE agents. Huge on the ICE agents. But all of a sudden I said, okay, let's take a look. Sure enough, many immigration judges have one of three problems. They're being either let go, they're quitting, or they're overloaded and they're in some kind of a fight. Who's the fight with? For some reason, it's the Trump administration that's firing them without any reason. I don't know what the law is regarding a position of a judge, immigration or otherwise, in the federal system. I don't know if it's as a job at will, like it is in the general public, where you can get fired for anything. You don't even have to have a reason. You can just get fired. Or do they have some kind of a process? But I went online and I typed it in, and sure enough, there are stories of judges who are fighting, suing the Trump administration. This is where it gets interesting. These judges are being replaced. They're being replaced by other people who are going to be given temporary status as judges. But the training for these judges, where it's coming from, is unknown. This one of the ladies in the interview that I watched said she's been training judges for a long time. Now all of a sudden, all of the people that she's trained who are going to be, some of them are going to be trainers themselves, are gone. So who's going to train them? She says she didn't know who they would have to train the new judges. But they were going to be given temporary status as judges for 6 months. That's all I know. This sounds like the Judge Dredd judges. Granted that these are police and dealing with killers and stuff like that and bad people. But I knew that there was going to be some kind of switchover with judges. And now it's starting. And then you have the UK judges who are arresting people for praying. Granted, there's not many of them. There are some. But it's getting very interesting how the angle is being approached, but almost got away from me. So, street judges, or temporary judges, people who are trained for a short term, are replacing police judges, and it's a completely different system. Then I read, and this is the other part, this is what I really like, and I'll use her name, but I'm not getting paid for this, so don't worry about it. And I do, I would give her, what's the word I would use here? props. I would give her props, meaning that I do actually support her work. She doesn't know me from a hole in a wall. Her name is, I'm going to have to pause this for a second. I think it's Courtney Webb. Or no, Whitney Webb. Let me pull this up on my computer here. It is Whitney Webb. And what she's talking about, she brought up this thing that I saw it coming. And other people did too. I'm not the only one. I'm not the originator of this. We're talking about the 15-minute cities. But she said that there's a technocratic approach to this that's happening. She didn't say specifically which cities were being involved that I could read. But these smart cities or 15-minute cities are starting to become the track to push them further along than just the theory is happening. How it's happening is through the very wealthy technocrats and what she called oligarchs and people in positions of power. And some of these people might even be like Elon Musk, investing in these highly potentially lucrative type cities. But how it works is still blueprint developing. But I'm guessing that the structure that I was envisioning may not be what is going to be coming first for these cities. Instead, what they're calling it is, what did she call it? Sort of self-governing cities or city-states. That's what it is. City-states. In other words, take the city of Chicago or Los Angeles or Dallas, Texas, whatever city you want, and imagine that city becoming its own state. It's kind of weird. But what they're talking about is not necessarily let's add to it. Instead of segregating it, let's say it does run by, let's say Dallas, Texas runs by the state of Texas, but it also now would have its own rules and regulations within the city limits of Dallas. And that would be integrated because of computers and technology as well. Digital IDs, who are you? You know, digital money, you know, what are you buying? When are you buying it? Why are you buying it? You know, watching everything that you do and buy. Is it approved? And you will be linked into the city that you're living within completely, which is, to be honest with you, quite a bit like another movie called In Time, with some characters that are not that big, more like they're just not as big as the main characters, but they're still very good actors. You're born with a watch on your forearm, and as soon as the time runs out, you die. And most people, when they become young adults, their day-to-day life becomes hand-to-mouth for your paycheck is time on your wrist. And you can share it with other people as often as you want, doesn't matter. But the end result is that you were designed to die at an early age, because they said that time is more important than people's lives. And then if you go upscale into different cities, the price of living gets much, much higher. But there are people there, but the corruption for the time on their bodies is incredible. And you got people who have been alive there for hundreds of years. And they stay young because they max out at a certain age for looks. All they have to do is make sure they have time on their forearm. One guy even has 1,000,000 hours, so he's immortal. But in the end, they start to break free of that time. But the point is that that movie represents the same thing as these smart cities. Somebody at the top is controlling the digital field. Then you have everybody else underneath, and they're kind of useless. So Whitney Webb is talking about how these smart cities are being formed. I just thought it was going to be only in the buildings that were redesigned, but it's not. It's going to be where you're living right now and the distance that you travel within a certain limit of a city. They start to just integrate you slowly. First digital ID, then they start watching your habits. They connect everything to your internet. It's pretty scary to think that it's already started. So that's also a new revelation that I was very surprised about. So a kudos and a very big thank you to Whitney Webb for opening my eyes to that potential that's starting to come into a blueprint. I'm not saying that the United States is lost, not at all, but it's heading in a direction that the people don't know about, and they're not paying any attention to it because it's not being shown to them in front of their faces. This is one reason why I wish that that emergency broadcast system had actually was going to be the truth, that they would actually show it to the world. But for some reason, it didn't happen. And I don't think it actually will happen, even though they know all of the evil. They have the power to broadcast it. But I think the devil is even smarter than that. So, and then we have the newest thing, which is the Atlas, which I've already told you guys about in the last podcast that I made. So anyways, we're in a problem area right now, and I don't think it's hopeless, but I would say it's a gigantic amount of attention, more attention is needed. And it's funny, is it because my faith, not only in God, yes, I have that. I do consider myself to be a pastor. But my faith is not just in that, in Jesus. It's that is the ultimate for power and for love and for creation, yes. But I also need to believe in ourselves and us. I want to know that we as humans are going to actually take a step in the right direction. And when we make that step, we put our feet firm. We don't sit there kind of wondering, should I have taken that first step or not? Or maybe even sliding it back a little bit because we're unsure. We need to take another step forward, plant it, no matter what the risks. Because inevitably, if we don't take the risk, then we are holding back humanity as a whole. And that is something I refuse. Because that would tell me that if I need to say I don't want to step forward because of fear, that means that my faith in humanity is not good. It's not strong. It's not solid. That means that I am taking the gift of life that God gave me and saying maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I can disrespect God. Maybe I can disrespect the biological mother and father that created me. Within her womb and with his donation, if you will. They created me. And am I supposed to then take this creation and say, I don't trust it? I don't trust the other creations around me? No matter what the fear is, no matter the anxiety of because of the threat of death or of suffering, I need to know that it's worth it to move forward with one step at a time. And disrespecting that because of an emotional charge that's negative, there's more value in taking that risk than there is in pulling back and saying, I'm going to just sit here and wait for the worst to happen. I actually think that being a human being is the most beautiful thing that I know of, next to that of God. It is. It's the most beautiful thing. We are beautiful creatures. We are incredible. The human being is beyond understanding and belief in what we can do. And not taking a step forward, in my opinion, I would even say, damn, it's a crime. It's a crime against humanity when people want to hold us back. And a crime against humanity, in my opinion, is a crime against God. I know I'm preaching to you. I'm well aware of it. But I think it's also important that people remember being a human being does not mean the world around us should dictate our hope in taking a step forward and maybe even another step. Take 20 steps. Take 100 steps. People will join you. That's just the way we are. If we see one of our own suffering, and keep in mind, if we see it, if we don't know about it, we're not going to do anything. But if we see it, more often than not, we'll jump in. Now, the media, don't get me wrong, the media will make it look like we are horrible people and we don't care. But in all reality, that's not the truth. It's like the burning woman that was on the subway car. How the police officer or the security guard just walked by. You damn well know that that's not really what's going to happen in real life. And that, if I understand it right, that security guard lost his job because he didn't care. He demonstrated that he does not respect the human life. The man that killed the woman obviously has the same thing. He does not respect human life either. But that doesn't speak for the majority. Not even 1%. I think life is worth saving, and I think life is worth celebrating. And we got some evil people out there who want us to believe otherwise, and I'm not going to. So thank you very much for listening to my unsolicited sermon. I hope I didn't bend your ear too much, but that's my belief system, and we'll see what happens with these cities. And thank you to Whitney Webb for your insight. I don't know if you'll ever hear from me or ever know of me, but I'm a fan of yours. I also would say thank you to Carrie Cassidy, which I'm sure she probably isn't listening to this, but that's okay. She's also, I think, a good person. She's been in this industry for a long time. I have been too, but I've been at it from another angle, a little more silent. Thank you very much, folks. Talk with you in the next one.